of my presentation is what the permission on defense and military veterans on the Kazakh Central War, Jamshan Strategy Plan, 2016-17, and the annual performance plan for 2012-13. The scope is the strategic overview, the strategic output, overview 2012-13, budget estimate, and the annual performance plan 2012-13. I must indicate here that due to the fact that in the past, as I indicated when I did my annual report about 2 weeks ago, I indicated that the strategic plans which we were utilizing were non-compliant according to National Treasury guidelines. And this is the first time that we are presenting a strategic plan which is compliant, which is according to the Treasury guidelines. Now, what we are doing here, we are presenting both the strategic plan and the annual performance plan for 2012-13. And what you'll see again is that the period covered extends up to 2016-17, which is not the case in most of the government departments, which started 2 years before we started. We just started now, which are almost 2 years that this is late. Now, when I deal with the strategic overview, speaks to the strategic plan, and it also speaks to the annual performance plan, which is you'll see in my presentation. But there are two documents here which are properly structured, the annual performance plan 2012-13 and the strategic plan 2012-13 to 2016-17. The strategic overview, as I indicated, will cover both the strategic plan, the content of the strategic plan for the MTEP, and the annual performance plan for 2012-13. The vision, control board strives for the Kabul to be a center of global significance, and our mission is the service-oriented public entity, striving to optimize its tourism potential and accessibility to the public, and to preserve and to protect its cultural and military heritage. This mission is derived from the Castle Management Act. The values again evolve within the context of the Act to restore and preserve the dignity of the military in society. Use the castle as a symbol of how South Africa has come in claiming its history and all its past. The castle is a national asset and used as a symbol of ultimate unity and to maintain transformed heritage sites. Accessibility. Now, these are the parameters, legislative parameters. These are the acts which control the management of the castle. And right on top is the Castle Management Act, which mandates the castle control board to govern and manage the castle on behalf of the Minister of Defence and Minister of Veterans. And we've got the Public Management Act, which governs the CCCB, in fact, which defines the CCCB as a public entity, a Schedule 3A. And then we've got the Defense Endowment Property and Accounts Act. As Defense Endowment Property, the castle was transferred to the Defense Organization for the exclusive use by and benefit of the South African National Defense Force and the Department of Defense. And the other legislation is the National Heritage Resources Act. And the Castle of Good Hope has declared heritage site should be managed within the legislative framework, which is the National Heritage Resources Act. Now, with regard to the pronouncement of the Castle Management Act, it stipulates three specific objectives as set out in the strategic objective on which all planning and operations are based. The first one is a preserved and protected military and a cultural heritage of the Castle of Good Hope. Secondly, is to optimize tourism potential of the castle and to optimize accessibility to the castle by the public. These are the three main objectives pronounced in the Castle Management Act. Now, as I indicated, some of the legislative some parameters. Now, as a heritage site, which is from the National Heritage Resources Act, the objectives also include, among that, in addition to the three other objectives, to promote, develop, and interpret the castle as a place of education and learning, to develop the capacity of the castle to promote understanding, reconciliation, and nation building, and to agree with the Department of Defense in terms of the management of the castle as a defense endowment property. Now, as a public entity, the Capital Control Board strives to incorporate actions to address the strategic issues identified by the minister. In addition to all the guidelines from the Act, the minister, as the executive authority responsible for the castle, from time to time, she pronounces her priorities in terms of what she wants to see done with with regards to the castle. Those which have been pronounced, some of the pronouncements include the self-sustainability of the castle control boat and the castle. We don't receive any transfer payment from the department. We manage and operate the castle out of its own operations, as we will indicate later on. And also one of the priorities of the MIG was the successful management and maintenance of the castle as a defense at Dalma property, and then to participate in national treasury asset management reforms, and we have to be compliant with statutory legislation, and we have to adopt sound acquisition and procurement principles, and then efficient resource and financial management, and enhancement of educational and societal programs. The compliance with statutory legislation, adopting sound acquisition and procurement principles, efficient human resources, these were in response to audit findings, which the minister indicated that they are a priority that the board must address and ensure that we are compliant and we implement the proper and sound acquisition and procurement principle, and we have a sound efficient human resources and financial management as the framework and the plan. And the ability of the CCB to deliver on the mentioned critical issues is dependent on collaboration with the Department of Defense, other government departments, mainly the Department of Public Works, and the involvement of the stakeholders, which are mostly members of the board. And the close relationship exists with stakeholders represented on the Castle Control Board, assisting with the execution of the strategic objectives as specified in the Castle Management Act. The Castle Control Board will endeavor to strengthen established relationships and seek to develop new relationships in order to support our executive authority initiatives and priorities. Now, with regard to the government medium-term strategic framework, we are required to indicate again how we are aligned to government medium-term strategic framework. With regard to outcome one, improve quality basic education, the Castle Control Board endeavors to align the educational programs presented at the Castle to the Western Cape school curriculum. We have expanded that as from one of your directives in the previous engagement we have had. And the second outcome term is the environmental assets and natural resources that is well protected and continually enhanced. The Castle Control Board as a heritage site is maintained, preserved and protected within the legislative framework. The preservation of that has been adopted by the Department of Defense in its command the police and ORAM that it has to prioritize the maintenance of the castle. Now we have included it in one of, as you will indicate later on, is one of the priorities in the 12-13 financial year. And on outcome 22, an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service and an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. Now, here the focus is placed on service delivery in terms of the battle peace principle, therefore rendering a high standard of professional ethics, providing effective service, and responding to the public's and inquiries. I think we're almost at the end of finalizing the starting or the employment of our executive director, and that, in fact, will be put us in a better position to be aligned with this outcome. Within the government environment, with regard to human resources, we have, as I indicated, just finalizing the staffing of the executive director, and we have hoped that most of the areas, human resources, financial management, and supply chain management, they will see a very significant improvement. The research capability is being discussed within the board, but don't have any immediate plans to develop that capability because of the financial constraints. And then infrastructure facilities, that plan, again, we have engaged the Department of Public Works and the Department of Defense has indicated that they do not adopt this in the maintenance of the castle as a priority in its refurbishment program. Fortunately, I'm the one managing the refurbishment program for the department. And then the stakeholder relationship, that one we're in fact, we're on a program, we're trying to finalize it to ensure that we improve the relationship with most of our stakeholders, starting within the board. We have already appointed one of the board members who are going to be managing the stakeholder relationship between the board and some of the primary stakeholders within the, in fact, within the heritage environment and tourism environment.
Excuse me, Chair. Sorry, General.
Honourable Manana.
I'm lagging behind, Chair. Under infrastructure, the fabric of the castle should be protected. PMO, what does that mean?
By means of.
Oh, thank you.
My apologies.
Continue, General.
Thank you, Chair. And in corporate governance, we are governed by King's report and the guidelines, and it's our guiding existing document in trying to improve the corporate governance of the castle by the board. And then the delivery of the castle as a heritage site, the protection of the fabric of the castle by means of the development of the conservation management plan, which already has been finalized and at the implementation phase. The presentation of castle as a heritage site and the premier tourism heritage site. That will be indicated when I present what programs we have or projects we have in our annual performance plan. Continuing with the performance environment, the governance and oversight, the reconstitution of the board, we are now 100% all the representatives are now represented within the castle, and the establishment of the implementation of policy. We have established the policy and strategy a section within the board. We're in the process of developing the supply chain, the policy, and the HR policy sections within the board. That will be responsible for developing and monitoring of those policies. And the effective review on progress according to the strategic plan. That process has been established. From time to time, in most of our meetings, we've established a specific section of the board, which will continuously assist or work hand in hand with the management of the council and to review the reports which are presented to the board by the management to ensure that we are aligned or there are no deviations or significant deviations from the plans. Sustainability, all revenue generated should be utilized for the management of the castle. We are just finalizing with the Western Cape support base in terms of sharing of the revenues from the package. We are also going to be engaging some of the stakeholders or some of the stakeholders operating within the castle to establish a framework whereby we can be able to have some revenue sharing scheme between all the participants or all the revenue generating capabilities within the castle. This will be done through either service level agreement with all the participants or all the stakeholders within the castle. This is our organizational environment.
You may pass that, we will read it.
Okay, thank you. And then this is the composition of the board. This composition of the board is as the directed by the Act, which is the South African Defence Force as Minister's representative, which is myself, the Cape Town Regional Chamber of Commerce and Industries, the Geo Museum, Department of Public Works, South African Heritage Resource Agency, AMISA Old Base, which is the Colonel Mongo, who is not here today, City of Cape Town, South African Tourism Board, Minister of Defence and Military Veterans, one of the board members is here, which is Ms. Appelbaum, and the Western Cape Provincial Legislature, and the Chief Executive Officer, the one I indicated that we are now in the final stages of appointing him or her into the post. the strategic outcome, which is the last part of the strategic review, is that the outcome is that the optimum accessibility to the castle of Kutub by the general public. But our outcome statement is the integration of all the objectives, the three objectives as pronounced in the Act. That is, the Castle of Good Hope is a service-oriented public entity striving to optimize tourism potential and accessibility to the public and to preserve and to protect its cultural and military heritage. That is the outcome of the end state of our program. Now I'll go to the next step, listing the part of the strategic plan. Again, I must indicate it deals with the strategic plan of the MTF and deals also with the strategic, the outputs of the annual performance plan. Now, the programs, in line with the legislative listing and environment from which we operate from, we added one program which is as the requirement of the PFMA, the administration, which has to do with compliance to regulatory framework. And this program is to ensure effective administration management in terms of corporate governance and professional competent corporate need towards optimal resources, support, and public relations. The second program is from the Act. It has to do with the preservation, interpretation, and showcasing of the history of the castle. And in this program, we develop the museum and interpretative component of the castle and its related themes through continuous research and development projects in order to establish effective exhibition and strive toward maximum educational outreach. To ensure professional and effective immovable heritage asset management in line with the SARA guidelines through the establishment of a proper networking platform with role players in terms of maintenance. And then program three is to maximize the tourism potential of the Castle of Kutub. And in that, we have to ensure promotion of the castle as a must-see and a vibrant tourist destination accessible to all citizens of South Africa and the world, networking with local and national tourism organizations, and utilizing suitable opportunities to establish educational and social programs. And the last program is the increased public profile and positive perception across all sectors of the community. And in this program, we have to ensure the accessibility of the castle as an attractive and a user-friendly center of cultural significance by all sectors of the community, and also promoted to the business and corporate community as a high-profile conference and function venue. Now, as you'll see, when we deal with the strategic outputs, there's a close relationship with the output and the program. This is the Castle Management Act. And the first the output, which is the one indicated, is that the guidelines of the PFMA is the compliance to regulatory framework. And the output there is to ensure that corporate governance issues are addressed in line with the regulatory framework within the functioning of legislation. And then output two is to preserve and protect the military and cultural heritage sites. And in that one is to ensure that the military and the cultural heritage of the Castle of Kutub is preserved and protected. Output three is to optimize tourism potential of the Castle of Kutub, to ensure that tourism potential of the Castle of Kutub is optimized. And then output four is to optimize accessibility to the Castle of Kutub by the public. And the statement there is to ensure that accessibility to the castle is optimized. Now the risk which we identified, the first one is to failure to preserve and protect the military and cultural heritage of the Castle of Good Hope. Now, the mitigation action is that, and this is exactly what we are doing now, is that we are ensuring that we operate or manage this thing, the castle, according to GRAP 103, which is the standard, the generally recognized accounting the procedures for management of heritage assets. All what we do in terms of this thing, of our programs, we ensure that we are compliant to GRAP 103. And the regular and the preventative maintenance is executed as it has been indicated earlier on. Now, the second risk is that the board fails to provide strategic leadership and or neglects to perform their duties. and one of the audit findings that has been alluded to, and right now we do have the strategic plan, which is the one which I'm presenting presently. And although this is the first time, and we are looking forward to improving its quality and content. The third risk is failing to negotiate an appropriate contract for the acquisition of the FIK asset without adequate planning. In the past, I reported, I think, several times to this committee that we are moving towards acquiring the head package. That has not been the successful, but now we are at the stage by whereby we are finalizing an agreement with the head package, because it's one of the major revenue generating capabilities within the castle. That has been a risk, because without it, the possibility or the ability of the castle to be self-sustaining and to be able to attract competent and experienced personnel to manage the castle, that risk will be really increased. And what we are saying is that the co-op will manage the acquisition with appropriate planning, co-developed with the appropriate special skills. That we have done with the head package, specifically with the support base. We have reached an agreement with them on how we are going to do the revenue generating scheme. And the plan which we have put in place is to ensure that we have this service level agreement with all the stakeholders within the castle. Now I'll go over now to, as required, I'll go over now to the 2012-13, that is the annual performance plan, starting with the budget estimate. Now these the programs and the estimates must be read and understood within the context of what I presented in terms of the strategic plan. As indicated, the first the program is the administration program, and if you look at the shaded this column in 2012-13, this is what we have this thing projected or planned to spend, that is 2.3 million. And the maintenance, preservation, interpretation, and showcasing of the east of the castle, we are projecting to spend 2.5 or 3.6 million. And the third, this program is to maximize the tourist potential of the castle. We are planning to spend 68,000 and increase public profile and positive perception across all sectors of the community. We are planning to spend 93,000. A total of 6.0 million has been allocated. Now, this is a detail of the expenditure estimate as per the program. But some of these most of these expenses cut across some of the programs. Compensation for employees, it's going to be about 1.4 million. Now, with all the other detailed missing expenses. And then there are other unclassified expenditures, which the total of all the goods and services come to about 4.5. One missing expense, which I think the honorable members will, when they do the calculations to reconcile all the totals, will find that we might be off by about 240,000. That 240,000 has to do with depreciation, because depreciation is not an actual expenditure, but it's per the accrual accounting system, whereby we have to depreciate some of our major equipment. So if you include that depreciation expense, you'll find that 4.5 plus the previous amount of compensation to employees will add up to the 6 million which we have allocated. Now, this is the most important part which the auditor in the previous audit cycle had this a matter of emphasis in terms of us not being compliant. Now, this time around, I think we have done some work on it with, in fact, the assistance of Chief Defense Policy Strategy and Planning. That within the Department of Defense, we are able to have this detailed this in the plan the APP for the 12-13. Administration, again, it has to we have 2.3 million, and below we have all the program performance indicators and the annual targets for 2012-13. We are planning under the administration program to hold about 4 board meetings for 12-13. We are going to have audit and risk committee meetings, 4 of them. And then the status of human resource management, we are going to apply continuous monitoring and implementation. At a later stage, we will be able to develop better measurable performance indicators. And then also with regards to the status of the supply chain policy, we are going to be developing indicators in order to monitor any progress in that environment. For this particular financial year, we are going to be monitoring very, very closely the developments within the supply chain management policy. With the audit report data, the only measurements we have is that we must have nothing less than an unqualified report. And then the quarterly targets is to enforce the consolidation of the breakup of allocation as per these meetings per quarter, as indicated there. And then the amount of money which we are going to spend on on a human resource management plan is as indicated. Program 2, preservation, interpretation, and showcasing of the history of the castle. We are planning to spend the preservation and protection of material and cultural heritage of the castle. That's the amount that we plan to spend. One column which I did not explain is that right at the end we have our link to the medium strategic framework. I indicated some of our link in terms of some of the outcomes of the government strategic framework. This one is linked to outcome 10. Now, with regard to the breakdown of the program, we are planning that a number of scholars visiting the Castle of Good Hope. We are planning to have 21,000 in 12-13, and then we are going to spend about 142,000 to finalize the Frontier War and First World War at this phase. We are busy with that project at the museum. And then we are planning to spend almost 3 million in the repair and maintenance of the Castle of Good Hope. And the expenditure to ensure a clean and a safe environment, we are going to be spending about 154,000 in 12-13. And then the quarterly targets, again, is the breakdown of what I've indicated for a year into each and every under the quarter. The next program is Program 3, maximizing the tourism potential of the Castle of Good Hope. The first performance indicator is the expected number of visitors to the Castle of Good Hope. For 12-13, we're expecting to increase from the previous 130,000 to 136,000. And that one, we are breaking it into quarterly of 34 in the first quarter, 38,000 in the second, 102 in the third, coming to a total of 136,000 at the end of the year. And then Program 4, increased public profile and perception across all sectors of the community. The indicators that the income from events, film and fashion shoots, we are looking at raising about 262,500 in 12-13. And printing and publication are going to spend. And we are looking at this printing, publication and marketing of Castle of Good Hope, spending about 93,000. And the total quarterly target is, as indicated, first quarter 65,500, second quarter 101,000, third quarter 196,500, to a total of 262 for the year. of the Castle of Good Hope. Honourable Chair, that ends my presentation on the strategic plan and the annual performance plan for 2012. Thank you very much.
General, you say it's the first time you present a strategic plan to this committee.
Okay.
Honourable members, any questions? Honourable Issao.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we would like to also extend our thanks to the CASL board for the presentation, and we hope also with the arms call that it will be done a bit earlier in the year, because we were fortunate to have a visit to the CASL and we dealt with a number of issues before even discussing the actual strategic plan and also the annual performance plan. So I think we were privy to many other things before we even debated this one. Nonetheless, I'd like to know the progress. There's mention made of the MOUs and SLAs, which will play a key role in terms of the stakeholders that serve on the board and the actual benefit they are to the council. And that will be determined by MOUs. How far is that process of the MOUs or SLAs between stakeholders? I note also with concern the research capability has been put in abeyance. That's not taken as a key issue at this stage due to finances. But I'm also happy to note that there's been a surplus of funds which will be rolled over, and a part of that money can be actually allocated to research capability, because the nature of the castle requires research to be done on a continuous basis. The issue of the CEO and CFO, if that matter, that's a critical position, both critical positions, and if the CASL board has made the decision on, in terms of the CFO on the part-time basis, that the CFO will serve the institution, and the CEO, what is the current status of that CEO, which was at the time not in place. The issue of also the audit committee, which is considered at the time the auditor general's report as also being a serious risk, if that matter has been addressed adequately and relevant parties or incumbents have actually been appointed in those positions to fill the gap so that we can speak to an unqualified report. Those are critical to the risk factors, the mitigating the risks that we have around it. Those positions have been filled to assist with the asset register, with the IT. Those are issues that were raised with the audit general report. The issue, I noticed also on page 25 of the presentation, when we speak to the CCB risk, if we look at page 25, the one that is noted here is number 2. The board fails to provide strategic leadership and neglects to perform their duties. That could be a serious risk. Now, the board has a very important role. Only issue mitigating action is strategic plans, and I think it goes beyond the strategic plan as actually addressing the critical post, the appointment of this post, the audit committees, the internal audit, all those things that need to be put in place as part of the responsibility of the board. So the leadership in that respect, and to ensure that all the MOUs and SLAs are in place. I don't think it's only strategic plans, it goes beyond that to have sound governance in terms of the King III report. I think I'll start with that, Mr. Chair, and then I'll put a few questions later. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Diale.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. I would like to know whether all these huge amounts in this program are already acquired, or something that is still going to be acquired. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I reckon some are just advices, and if there are any questions, you can answer those questions together.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With regard to the MOUs and the stakeholders, as I indicated in the presentation, the first one, which was very critical, it was a service level agreement in fact with the Army support base with regard to the operation of the Helfer gates, because that one was very critical in terms of running the whole castle and the sustainability of the castle. We have had some, you know, some challenges for the last 2 years in terms of reaching the service level agreement, in terms of the understanding from the military and what we wanted to do. But the bottom line now is that we have reached an agreement that we are going to have a revenue share scheme, and that I think has been finalized. I think the latest was about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago with the support base, and we'll be seeing that being operational as soon as possible. With regards to the other entities, some other entities within the castle with are revenue generating, the support base decided to hand over those capabilities because they found that it was not cost effective for them to continue running them. And it means now it will be upon the CCP to ensure that they turn around those particular capabilities. Now, what is ZICO? ZICO, we do have a standing agreement with them in terms of revenue sharing with ZICO. But we still want to review, we haven't started, we still have to review that service level agreement to ensure that it is aligned with the strategic profile and the projection of the board. The other areas which are with regards to the stakeholders, I think we did discuss briefly with the committee with regards to some of the members of the board within within the Castle Control Board. Now, that one really is to communicate to this body, to this committee, and to the minister in terms of how we are going to go forward with our working. It's something which is really not within our mandate. For instance, if we have to have any agreement or understanding with the Western Cape legislature, we will need the participation of the executive authority. We have engaged the executive authority on those ones, so that one was itself them. The ones which we are focusing on, prioritizing presently, are those ones which will have an impact on how we are going to get ourselves self-sustainable for the medium term. Most importantly, which will answer again the second question of the CEO and the CFO. Now, the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer, is very critical that you have that one because it's according to the legislation. Now, hence, we find that most of the SLAs which we're trying to prioritize is to ensure that we have enough financial strength to manage this thing, to carry this thing as the CEO. In fact, for your information, members of the committee, is that some of the applications we have received in our advertisement, and they tend to make us a little bit shaky because it's high-profile people who are not going to be affordable that afford it. We cannot afford a CEO of $1.5 million. No, our budget is very, very low, you know. Now, these are some of the people who are visiting, the applications we are receiving. We'd like to have them, because they will really, you know, promote and enhance the image of the castle, but it will come at a very high cost. So those are some of the challenges we're having. Same with the CFO. We're busy right now still working on sharing the expertise of the CFO. The audit committee, that one has been finalized, that all the members of the committee are there. As you remember last time, it was the one of the theories or the findings of the Auditor General, and immediately after that we established all the members are present. With respect to the risk which we identified, it's true, I'll agree with the Honourable Member that it's not only the establishment of the strategic plan, it goes beyond that. As indicated, about 2 or 3 years ago, we had the program of getting 100% of the full strength of the board. At a certain stage, we are operating at almost 40 to 50%. Now, we don't have any enforcement, you know, powers to members or the stakeholders. We always rely on their commitment or on their understanding of the importance of the role they have played within the board. So that one, we have done it now. We have about 100% participation. we adopted the King III report as the policy document, but not there yet. But we're striving towards that, to meeting all the guidelines of the King III. But I think with what we have right now, with all the committees we're establishing, we hope we're going to mitigate that risk, and not only confining it to the establishment of a strategic plan, but to go to other areas which require the execution of all our fiduciary responsibilities. And then the amounts, the issue of the amounts, we don't get any money from anywhere, that we rely on our operations. So we are nobody don't get any grants from the government. So the most of the projections will be based on how specifically the capital manager here executes his functions in terms of attracting visitors, in terms of some of the companies coming to rent the space at the castle. Those are all the revenue generating schemes we have at the castle. The R&D is correct. It's one of the critical capabilities, but again, most of what we want to do is determined by the resources we have. Right now, the priority is to get the CEO, and we hope that, in fact, not that we hope, this is what is going to determine the future of R&D, the policy guidelines which we are going to give to the CEO at the board. And I think R&D is going to be one of the marketing. I know it's one of the top. Also, we've not done a lot in this thing in marketing. R&D is also going to be one of the policy guidelines we give to the CEO, and we'll be evaluating his performance based on how much he does on this thing, on these areas. Thank you. Any addition?
Thank you, General. If there are no more questions, you still have Honorable Sahu, I'm left with 5 minutes. If you can round it up.
The consultants are see they are increasing over the MTF, and what is the board actually planning to use? I know that, for instance, the maintenance unit, they're trying to make it in-house to save money, and that money is actually used within the castle, and it's not outsourced, or public works doesn't take that responsibility, similar to defense. On the maintenance, the consultants are see increasing over the MTF, and also the uniforms is increasing over the MTF. If we can just look at the budget part of it, then there's also the issue of an audit report status, and it says 5. The current status, I'm not sure, is it 3+ or is it a 4, but I see the audit report status of 5. If we can just have some clarity on that one, Mr. Chair. The targets also, I see the targets are given in terms of budgetary figures, and in other instances, targets are given in numbers. And it doesn't explain really, if one looks at page 31 onwards, then the status of the supply chain policy, it gives you an idea of where the policy is, number of household meetings, it gives you a number. But when we go on to the other program, status of human resource management plan, it says 1.368 million is the total target, and then it gives it incrementally 342,684,000, 1,026,000, and then a total of 1.368,000. So we're not sure actually the status in terms of money only or status of completion of the plan, if which one are we actually addressing. So the targets that does always speak, numbers I understand it is in terms of budgetary planning, but in terms of achieving, like for instance, finalize frontier war and first world war displays. Now it says here, as audited performance, new indicator, estimated performance, 215,000. And then of course the breakdown of how they will actually spend the money over the MTF. But it says the finalize frontier war and first world displays. So sometimes I'm not sure if we're looking at the display itself, the progress made on the completion of it, or just the money being spent on it. So it doesn't give me clarity, Mr. Chair, on that. If it has two parts to it, just the line on top with money and the line below on actual display. Is it 80% finished, 50% finished, 60% finished? That's what actually assisted well in the indicators. I think that should be it, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. General.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll hand over to the council manager to answer some of the technical issues. But something which I have to admit is that we are at a developmental stage. As I indicated, this is the first time we've prepared this thing. And some of the comments you've made were just at the learning curve right now. Those are some of the issues we're going to take into consideration. And I think they'll be coming up during the auditing this process. But we think out of 5, we can give ourselves 4.5. Well, if I give myself 4.5, you take 1 and come at 3.5, it is not bad. Yeah, but for the technical issues with respect to the front jaws, I'll just hand over to the captain.
To simplify it, I think for us, it's also a working document for us. The 1368 million and the putting it in a quarterly kind of reporting cycle is to indicate to us that we keep within, obviously we're underspending because we haven't appointed the executive director as yet, or CEO, there's two names, but executive director.
Yeah.
And so we get the indication of that we're not sort of quite in line with our expenditure with regards to that, but we have budgeted for it. So if you look at the quarterly reporting that we do, that also clearly indicates to what extent we're actually meeting our targets. With regards to the frontier water space, this is a process that's going to be taking place over a 2 to 3 year period, because it's quite an extensive exercise. When you visited the castle, you saw the frontier water space and what we're doing with regards to that is display, and following that's going to be the First and Second World War, but they don't happen in isolation. You're actually busy with the frontier war, but in relation you also plan to do your First and Second World War displays. So you're using money, you know, in that within that financial year, but it's going to be sort of stretched over 3 to 4 year period. And we're actually working for 2040 now, because that's when the commemoration of the First World War, the Great War will be. So we're hoping to have it implemented by 2014, and that's why we budgeted it accordingly. We've also applied, the Castle Military Museum has applied to the lottery for some funding, because it's quite an expensive exercise to have these displays implemented. With regard to U4 maintenance, I can just add, we're hoping, and it's still our we still envisage that will happen, is to bring back the changing of the guard. We have a key ceremony currently, and we need only to supply uniforms for a section, basically, to help 10 people do the actual key ceremony twice a day. And so your ceremony uniforms are very expensive. It's hats, the feathers, the ceremonial side of it has got to be specially made. So it's quite an expensive exercise. But over the 2 to 3 years, we're hoping that we can slowly but surely upgrade those uniforms, because they need constant upgrading. And if we do bring back the change of the guard, which happened at 12 o'clock in the past, then we will have the funds available to actually implement that. So we're also very underspent on our uniforms for this year because of the fact that we have a human resources problem, a challenge.
Thank you very much.
I think maybe this is confusing, and I quite agree. Yes, the 5, it's too limited to 5 findings. We don't have, because we have a couple of findings, and we're trying to limit it to that amount. But maybe it doesn't make it so bit clear, and I think it has been queried before as well. It can be a bit confusing. But we're trying to limit it to 5 findings. You know, that's
the idea. The report is, which I'm understanding, is anywhere 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So government is trying to achieve that, where it's at its performance, its optimum, and performance information. So 5 actually is penultimate to the top performance. And clearly there's a number of issues that need to be implemented before we reach 5. So I think the 3 plus is the more accurate one. But if the findings, then maybe if we can just qualify as findings.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I think you have done very well here to the fact that you are presenting this for the first time. I'm not sure how have you been working as an organization without any strategic plan. Honorable Nana, we are wrapping up. You can ask a question. Yeah.
Well, thanks. I'm sorry for taking a few steps. Like, I had to pop out quickly whilst we had a bite on the presentation. The first comment is the proper wording in my as far as I'm concerned is the proper wording. For instance, if you go to historians of the liberation struggle, they will tell you that the term frontier is colonialist in nature. I would prefer, it's your choice, but I would prefer to call those wars colonial wars of colonial resistance, because in actual sense, actually, that was the essence of those wars. Plus minus 9 of them were fought in my area in the Eastern Cape over a period of 100 years. So it's a subject matter that I've followed quite closely as I was at university and when I grew up. The second one, Chair, generally from my side, the fact that you say you're doing it the first time, you basically disarmed me. I went through the presentation, and then I must say for the first time, you did very well. It does have loopholes, as you would expect. For instance, on the budget for maximize the tourism potential of the Castle of the Good Hope, it is about 64 million, if my memory serves me well. Sorry? Okay. I was about to figure. No, it's okay. And the other thing, probably as you go along, you should find a way of fine tuning. You are right to say they do overlap. The programs that in my view would actually do fine if they're clubbed together. And I understand you may be battling to find your relevance. There is room for improvement on the document. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Is there any question to answer?
No.
No question to answer. Look, thank you very much. You must know now that we will be oversighting you on this document. Then when
the meeting at the castle.
Yeah, it won't be a bad idea. Thank you very much. And now we can just leave you and release you. We are going to take our presentation from DOD. So if you feel you have got pressure, you can just go. But no, nobody stops you from sitting. If you still want to sit, you can sit.
Yeah.
DOD? I want you to concentrate on the remedial action on your red spot now, because that's where we are going to oversight you, DOD.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We don't have to know what the management is.
Let's improve
our management. Okay, thank you very much.
Are you ready? Jyoti?
We know we have a chat about the water. What's the drama?
What's the drama?
When are we going to have a chat about Rwanda? When are we going to have a chat about Rwanda? I want to call a major question about it. It hasn't been applied for nearly 4 months. I asked, yes?
Week.
Month. Are you okay? Are you ready? Okay.
Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. We have two presentations today. One is performance information and another one is financial. We'll just try and zoom on the areas as pay guidance, those areas that are red. We are presenting our plan divided into the Defense Secretary plan and the SNDF, but it's one presentation. I'm not going to go through the, I'm just going to go zoom into those areas. You indicated we have a traffic cycle. Red, where red means high risk, and you need in this area major action. Amber, which means that it's moderate risk, and some remedial and corrective action is required, as well as green, which indicates low risk. In this report, Chair, of this first part of the Defense Secretary, we have 38 indicators. Out of the 38 indicators, 3 are red and 6 are amber, and the rest, which is 29, are green. So we are doing relatively well in largely, but obviously there are areas that need remedial action. The first one of those is under the GTO sub-program, which is Government Information Technology Officer. Number one, there is the performance indicator is the percentage compliance with the 60 ODICT portfolios of the DH Master Plan, which is the Defense Enterprise Information System Master Plan. In this area, Chair, why it is red is because of various reasons, but primarily it is due to the production of invoices by CETA that are not coming on time. We have here what has happened as an intervention is that management control processes have been put in place to make sure that the projects that are in this environment are according to schedule and that they are timely. The expenditure is also timely. We are also just have signed, the CDF has signed the business agreement with CETA, and we're also going to hold CETA to performance targets in the credit level agreement. We are hoping that the other complication today is that we have one tender that was delayed in the procurement environment. And again, we are, this project has been registered, and we're hoping that the bottleneck will be dealt with. The second one, Chair, just going through number 10, is capacity, the issue of establishment of the OD research capability status. We did indicate in our last deliberations with you, Chair, that this area is red. What we were required, Chair, as an indicator target, is that we should have by now an organizational structure design investigation conducted. But because of the capacity constraints, all the HR in this environment in under policy have been seconded to the DRC to assist with the DRC, meaning Defense Review Committee, not the Congo. They are all seconded in the DRC, and as a result, this area will or could remain red until such time that HR in that environment has been relieved to come back to the division and assist. Now we are going to a yellow, number 13, which is Defense Fiscal Framework Status. Chair, this area is dependent on the finalization of the defense review. We had completed from our side the draft, and that draft has been submitted to the defense review as input, because we cannot finalize this area until the defense review is finalized. It is very linked to a defense review report. Number 14 is percentage payment in accordance with invoices, claims, and charges, etc. This is our ability to pay suppliers within 30 days. Okay, I want to indicate that we have managed there in the second quarter to pay 80% of our invoices within 30 days. However, there are challenges that are caused by various sectors, one being, for example, suppliers supplying information, the invoice information that is inconsistent with what is in the orders. You also have sometimes inaccurate information on the invoices. And sometimes it's the issue of invoices that have not followed, procurement that has not followed the processes, because you might be required to procure quickly, and then you will have to go back and condone that, and it takes quite a while before then an invoice can be paid. We are, from our side, trying to make sure that where possible, we do indicate to our suppliers the importance of supplying invoices that are correct and that could be paid in time and that are accurate. If there are questions on this one, the CFO can expand. Number 15 is strategy of defense industry. Again, dear Chair, this is waiting for the approval of a defense review. We have done as a department, the first draft was drafted, and it was submitted to the defense review as input. Now we are waiting for them, the defense review, to provide us with high-level guidance on how to proceed in this area. Number 16, Chair, is... this is not moving. I'll just continue with my hard copy presentation. Number 16 is about the percentage budget allocation received for renewal of DOD main equipment in relation to the total DOD budget vote. Chair, this matter for now is going to be read until the defense review is finalized, so that again the principle of 40-30-30 is required is then reviewed. For now, nothing is going to change, Chair. So that was, I think, the last vote that we have, but we still have number 24, which is an EMBA, DOD Foreign Relations Strategy Status. Here we should have had the annual target, his policy should be approved by the end of the financial year, but we have missed the target check here because the draft has not been presented to senior management or senior officers yet. Number 29 is Defense Force Service Commission. Chair, the Service Commission is under control. There is just one a gap here, and that is with the office infrastructure that is only 90% complete. The CLO, who is not here, is working hard to make sure that the Service Commission has the required infrastructure. That was the last EMBA, Chair, before going to the SNDF. The SNDF does not have many red chairs. If you go to the slide that is prepared, mission red capabilities as a title, we have the chair under activity 1.2, referring to broader DOD health fitness status of the SNDF. Our target is to reach the positive status, the positive trend, but chair trend has been negative due to various factors that will be addressed by one, the human resources strategy that we are busy with, the SNDF is busy with, that will address matters of HR from cradle to grave. That is one. Number two, I think there is a red admiral that is on re-skilling. Compliance, percentage compliance with the OB training targets, which is re-skilling. And again, that is the matter that is linked to HR strategy. Again, the exit mechanism, the rejuvenation of the defense force, and all those matters will be addressed in the credit to grade HR strategy itself. Thank you. Now I'm done with this. We're going to the financial. Can we just, Mr. Makane, quickly just show areas that just need the committee's attention?
Thanks, Chairperson and members of the committee. I'll be taking you through the presentation on the second quarter financial performance. In the presentation, I'll cover the topics that reflected. It will be the second quarter expenditure of the program, and second quarter expenditure of the external type of account, and second quarter revenue collection, as well as the cash flow as at the end of September, and some high level or highlights on the self defense account. The first slide that I'm dealing with here is the adjusted estimate slide. During the adjusted estimate process around over in September, we submitted a request to the National Treasury for additional funding. There are three categories of expenditure that we have requested funding for. The first category is the unforeseeable and unavoidable. Second category is self-financing. And the third one is the unforeseeable economic events. Now, under the first category, the request we submitted was for funding of Operation COBRA. We have submitted a request of almost 126 million. And in response, Treasury only allocated 63 million. And under Operation PAYFOR, our request was just over 57 million, and nothing was allocated from the National Treasury. Under the second category of self-financing, in the past financial year, we had collected under the SGA an amount of 142 million, as well as an amount of 61 million from the General Defense Account. And as usual, or as it is practice, Treasury allows us, or through this adjusted process, they allow us to request a portion of the money we've collected. It's an agreement that we've reached with the National Treasury. And the outcome of the request from the SGA amount was that they gave us the full amount we requested. Whereas under the amount we collected from the GDA, nothing was allocated. in the last category of requests we submitted was the one for additional salary increases. When the salary bill was determined in the prior year, it was before the negotiations at the chamber that is managed by DSA. So the outcome of that was that the amount that we arrived at by the negotiating chambers were higher than the budget figures. So we had to approach salary to be augmented on the difference. Full amount we requested was 347.9 million. And in return, Treasury only allocated 109, as Rebecca said. So in total, our request was 724 million and the amount we received were 395. And on the extreme right, they were just showing the deviations of what we didn't receive from the Treasury. Now, after the adjusted process has taken place, we had therefore there was a need to adjust our program, our allocation to the program. That's the table of this slide. We are showing the impact of that adjustment on our program. Importantly, if you look under line item 2 for employment, the 63 million that is reflected there is the one that was funded from the previous slide and is for operating people. There were other adjustments like 2.5 million and 11 million. This column here reflects total adjustments that are happening in this block. This block represents adjustments that happened among all programs. And this column here reflects what is some total of these adjustments. And the extreme right column indicates the final adjustment. So, if you look into this program here, the first program administration, there was an 80 million environment that was affected and another adjustment of about 9.8 million. In total, the adjustments are 89 million. And that 89 million is the amount that has been added to reflect a new adjusted budget. It's the difference, this 89 million makes the difference between that figure and that figure. And so the analysis goes. This slide again is not different from the previous one. It's just showing the same allocation, however, a structure of account or in terms of economic classification. The basis of the criteria for showing expenditure in this format really only has to do with showing what amounts are spent on current payments, what amounts are spent on transfers and subsidies, and what amounts are spent on other line items as we go down the slide. The total at the bottom should balance the previous slide because it's the same information, however, shown in a trend format. I'm done with the part that dealt with or that deals with adjusted estimates. Now the slide that we are following are dealing with the expenditure as at the 31st of September. That is the second quarter of this financial year. This first slide is showing the expenditure per program. If you look closely here, there are two distinct blocks. The first one is information for the past financial year. And this information on the extreme right is information of the current year. So what we're saying is, under program administration, in the last financial year, the full amount voted for that program was about 3.7 billion. And at the end of September in that year, the past financial year, about 1.8 was spent, which represent 49% of the allocation. Now, if we move on over to the current financial year, our adjusted budget for the very same problem is 3.8 billion line there. And as at the end of September, in this current financial year, 1.7 billion was spent, representing about 46%. And so the analysis goes a program after program. Maybe importantly, I should emphasize here that in the first financial year, we had spent about 45% of the allocated budget, vis-a-vis 42% in the current financial year. So there's about a 3.5% well underspending compared to the previous financial year. The next slide again is showing the same expenditure patterns, however, in terms of economic classification. It's showing how much has been spent on current payments. Again, the first block here from here to there, information about the past financial year. And from here, around here, it's information on the current financial year, the year we are reporting on. This slide seeks to inform us how we fared with regard to revenue collection. Each year we also compile a budget of expenditure, we also compile a budget of revenue. Now, in the past financial year, the total budget we had put aside for collecting revenue and sales of goods and services was at that amount. And at the end of September, in the past financial year, we had collected 154, which represents about 54% of the estimated budget. Now, in the current financial year, this is the full budget. 301 is the full budget that we envisage to collect under that item. And as at the end of September, it collected 146, which represents 85% of the collected budget. And so it goes according to the different line items that form part of our revenue. And the transfers and subsidy, the budget in that year, that amount, and in the first 6 months in that year, that amount was collected. In the current financial year, 280.3 is the budget of our revenue under transfer and subsidies. And as at the end of September, that amount was collected. And so it goes. So in total, if you look at percentages, in the past financial year, we had collected about 46% of our envisaged budget, whereas in this year, we have collected about 62%. So we have fared well in terms of aligning or sticking into our budget projection with regard to revenue-generating items. This slide really seeks to show the committee how we have been drawing our funds from the National Revenue Fund. Each year, at the beginning of the financial year, we are requested to provide a cash flow projection of our needs up to the end of the financial year. I think that assists Treasury in planning their cash flow for the whole of government. For the whole government. What we are saying here, maybe I should warn that this figure should not be read together because then there's a tendency of confusing. The first line item there, we are saying there, from the beginning of April to the 30th of September, we have drawn from the National Revenue Fund a total of 60 billion. And at the end of August, when we completed the mandate at the 30th of August, there was a balance of 390.5 million, which was not spent from the amount that we had drawn on that month. The third line there is showing that for the month September, we drew 2.9 billion from the National Revenue Fund. And in that very month, the expenditure was 2.9 billion. So this amount, the 390 that was left from the previous month, added to that amount, gives us an amount of money available for spending in that month. It's not showing on this slide here, but that amount is about 3.336 billion. If you subtract 3.336 billion from the actual spend of the month, you remain with an unspent balance of 1.5 million at the end of the month, at the end of September. There was that amount of cash in our PMG account. And the percentage there is being used to show that of the money that was available for spending in that month, the unspent amount represents 0.5%. This my last slide. It's showing at high level how funds have been committed on the SDA. This is where most of our capital projects are executed in the department. So under Schedule 1 there, we are saying of the funds allocated for the SDP, for the Special Defense Packages, as at the 30th of September, 81% of the budget available for this activity was committed as FA. FAs are a measure or a way of showing a commitment or an intention to spend. This gets recorded in our financial system. It appears with the virus on this computer. I do not know whether members have got a copy. Otherwise, I could speak from my group. We're saying of the budget allocated with SDP, which is not reflected here, 81% was FA, and 70% there were orders placed with 70% of the budget, which is also reflected there. And at that period, there were payments to the amount of 51% of the available budget. And this column is just showing what was the percentage in the previous financial year. The second tier there is the largest project. These are projects that are over 15 million. Of the budget available for this project, 76% of it was committed as FA. That means there was an intention to spend. And already at the end of that period, there were orders placed, which those orders were about 64% of the available budget. And at that period, they were already delivering because there were payments that are worth 8% of the available budget. And the figure there shows what was the amount in the previous financial year. And so it goes, the total of all these categories, from Cell 1 to Cell 5, of the total budget available in the SBA, 78% has been FA'd and 60%, 7% orders have been placed, and only 20% of the order based there were payments made. But the bottom line here really seeks to show that if we exclude the SDPs in this equation, that means we are only showing expenditure our commitments for projects from 02 to 05. The percentage FA are 77 and orders are 66 and paid 16 for the current year and 27 for the present financial year. I think this is the last slide, Chair, and I'll wait for your guidance.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, we have 15 minutes to interact with this presentation. Honorable Menier.
Thank you, Chair. I have a number of questions. I mean, the Defence Force exists to conduct operations, and so what I want to do is to start my questions on the sharp end. Now, some weeks ago in the Sunday Times, there was an article about the status of the South African Navy's frigates, and there was a claim that none of the frigates is currently fully operational. That seems to be supported by the department's own documents, and I refer here to the quarterly report on SANDF performance, which says that one frigate remains operational whilst the remaining frigates are undergoing repairs. I wonder if the department could name each of the frigates and inform this committee what exactly the status of those frigates is. Is the frigate operational? Is it not operational? And if it's not operational, why is it not operational? That's the first question. Then I turn to air defense. First, in respect of the fighter capability, I note that two squadron, which is the squadron responsible for operating the Gripen fighter aircraft, flew a total of 173.7 hours during the period. Now, my understanding is that 24 aircraft have been delivered. I'm not sure whether we maintain 24 aircraft on the line. We probably do not. But assuming that there are 24 aircraft, that would be, during the period of 3 months, 7.3 hours per aircraft flying hours. Even if we maintain 50% of that, it would mean that each aircraft, 12 aircraft, are flying about 14.4 hours. During the period, which is roughly 5 hours a month. That means, if you chair, that the Gripens are effectively ground. Is that correct? If one turns again to the air defense capability, one looks at the Air Force Reserve Squadron. There are 9 squadrons, and in the 3 months under review, those squadrons flew 0 hours. Does that mean that the entire South African Air Force Reserve Squadron is ground? It can mean nothing else. That is air defense. Then I'd like to turn to health, where we say that when it comes to the trend of broader health and fitness, there's a negative trend. What exactly does that mean? Equally, in the trend in respect of deployable status, that is negative. Why is the trend negative, and what is being done to reverse that trend? Then finally, let me come to my favorite subject, defense acquisition. operation or project Hufesta. I see in the documents that the Armaments Acquisition Council did not meet. There was no scheduled meeting. For that reason, Project Hufesta is on hold. Can you explain why the Armaments Acquisition Council did not meet? Then on, and this interests me particularly, this is a project that the committee has never heard about or been briefed on before, Project Vagrant, which is described as project to secure the physical protection of SAS facilities. Now, I mean, this seems to be a major problem for the department. If one reads the document carefully, this authorization for this project has been with the Arms Corps Board for nearly a year, and yet no decisions have been taken, and the project has not been implemented. My question to the department is, given the fact that this project has to do, I understand, with the physical protection of SAF facilities, does this suggest that SAF facilities are, in fact, at risk? I need to understand what exactly is Project Vagrant and are SAF facilities at risk? Then we move to Project Assegai. This, I understand, is the billion-rand development of a missile by Danel and the Brazilian authorities. In February, there was an unsuccessful firing. In August, there's now a successful firing. The project seems to be more or less on track, but the schedule has been changed. By how much is the schedule being changed, and what are the cost implications? Then in respect of Project Drummer, which is the upgrade of the Oris, if one looks at the documents, there is massive underperformance by the law. What exactly is going on there? What could you explain exactly why Danel is underperforming and what corrective action is being taken? These replies to the various delays in the acquisition, I think, are extremely serious. Just moving then to the financial report, there's an operation referred to as Operation Copper. We're familiar with Operation Copper, it's the anti-piracy operation. There's reference to another operation, Operation Zephyr. We are not familiar with that operation. What exactly is Operation Zephyr? Then you did refer to Operation Copper, where you've asked for an additional appropriation and the Treasury has received, and the Treasury has allocated an amount of roughly 63 million. But what you don't touch on is Operation Corona. What is the total budget for Operation Corona in the current financial year? How much has been spent? And is there an overspend or underspend on Operation Corona? Thank you.
Any other question?
Honorable sir.
Finance, anyone?
Okay.
Huh? There are two parts. You
just ask. We presented everything as one.
Okay, so I think
you said the first one is the reference made to a tender that was delayed, and if we can just have some more information. The project is registered and there were bottlenecks. What were the bottlenecks that was dealt with and which tender we're looking at? The issue of capacity in terms of research and the person not being appointed. Organizational structural design is the key objective. How important is that organizational structural design in terms of also the defense review, which is also speaking about a design and structural change to the defense force? Is that part of that research? Is that somehow linked also to the defense review? The defense attaché, which is again, I've alluded to it in the previous engagement, that sets a target of 40 and it is 39 is achieved. We know there are existing defense attaches. Are these new ones and the ones that were closed down? One and two was closed down and others were opened up. We don't know any of those details. I don't need to know. The total I know is 40. But why is not the one? It's the achievement only for one additional attache and I know the other two that closed. Right? The other one is on the finances. There were two PFMA irregularities. They didn't follow the regulations. And one of the key ones is deviation by more than 50% of a vote, or what we call a program within a vote. That amount of money was taken away. And I've got a concern, particularly, Mr. Chair, when it comes to landward forces that's supposed to take up most of the money, and we actually need more money, also for Operation Corona as well, to expand that and to actually cover all borders. Here we find a large chunk is actually taken from landward forces and used elsewhere. Then, of course, the issue of all the PFMA irregularity, it doesn't follow the national security regulations and PFMA, is to use of committed projects money and put it into operational expense. Now that requires also special permission. And even if special permission is granted, why does the department operate in that fashion? That it is contrary and it seeks condonement and it's contrary to regulations. In fact, it speaks to the issue of bad planning. Because if a large amount are taken, it means something has seriously gone wrong, that you have committed yourself somewhere to planning, and yet you have not fulfilled, and therefore that money must now be shifted very quickly because that affects badly after your financial year is over. The vacancies, I'd like to have an idea of vacancies at this moment within the department. Have those critical posts been filled today? Because that is one of the factors that undermines the performance of the department. Underspending, overspending, I think generally there's been explanation given. We're not actually sitting with the actual financial data for us to refer to specific instances of underspending and overspending. I know the one where we have like transfers and subsidies is 100% already achieved. And in the previous year, there was much less, it was 52% or some. I'm asking now, we are entering the third quarter. Why has that been achieved in the current year and why wasn't achieved last year? So there are sometimes huge discrepancies in the performance of one year to the other, and there was no motivation given by the CFO regarding those changes in the collection of revenue or of the transfer of monies to particular departments. The administration had also an increase of about 10 million. If we can have an understanding of why was that budget, particularly for the admin program, increased by 10 million. And there was a cash flow, cumulative cash flow. If we look at the cumulative balance on the cash flow information presented by the CFO, we're sitting with a balance in the current year of 405.7 million. Now, I'm asking myself the question, we're sitting with a lot of money in the account, and we, of course, don't receive the what we call in-year monitoring, the monthly financial reports to know the actual performance against targets. We don't get that information. So I'd like to know, we're sitting with so much money in the account, why has that money not been spent? And which areas have people not filled? And I assume I can have some idea of the issue of vacancies not being filled and money being carried over. But I'll leave that to the CFO to explain. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Can we get a response from the department? You have very little time.
Thank you, Chair. I will ask Admiral Green to answer to the questions. Make sure that the information that is operational can only be disclosed in a closed session.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. I'll answer these questions to the point. The figures, without diverging into each name, if we look at the status, which I'm sure is more pertinent than the name of the ship, is that two ships are in the operational cycle. In other words, two ships participate in terms of the APP of the frigates. The other two are in extended maintenance cycles, so they have no consequence here. One has to have four ships to have two available. When we get to the two available, and the fact that one is now really only operational and the other one requires some maintenance, we must bear in mind, and that was interesting that the Arms Corps board was here indicating the state of the dockyard, that the dockyard doesn't have the capacity to turn around these ships in what we would term a short maintenance cycle which would be normal, or for a particular defect in the timelines that we plan. So it's about a capacity problem. We firmly believe that if the capacity was there, both of those triggers would be operating. The other thing that we need to bear in mind is that in the previous dispensation, when we bought vessels of that nature, we'd have a huge integrated logistics support system with it, which would include some main equipment like engines and the ancillary equipment. We don't have that luxury within our budget constraints. Therefore, if we do require major machinery repairs, those items have to be sourced from the original supplier. And these things take much longer than we were used to in the past. So the Navy has still got a capacity to operate at sea. The one ship will be deployed in the area where it's most needed, as decided by government. Government indicate where our deployments take place. I hope that answers adequately in the short time the situation with the Griffins. The Griffins are not grounded. 173 hours constitutes the number of hours that were flown in terms of the budget. You cannot operate 26 Griffin on the budget that we have. So we have a airframe availability program that indicates when aircraft will be flown. We're busy with development of a strategy to use the aircraft optimally within that budget. We've often spoken about the shortfall in our budget in terms of the operationalization of the SDPs. I think the honourable members would all recall that case where these aircraft particularly are far more costly to operate than originally determined. And that's something we're living with. So the Griffins are not grounded. The reserve squadron is not performing because there's a moratorium on using them. There's an investigation directed by the chief of the SANDF into the methods used for the use of aircraft and the members, the skewing of the way the reserve force squadrons are manned. They're not representative, and this investigation is a complex investigation, so therefore that is a directive that has said we will not use the reserve forces and we have to outsource through another medium. The situation with the health is all interlinked, whether we reflect it generally or in terms of deployment. The honourable members will be aware that the National Treasury has restricted us in terms of the funding for and the directive to reduce our intake of youth, and that's through the Military Skills Development System. So we would have found that in the past, because our plans are based on projections, based on empirical data, which in the past where we've had 10,000 plus MSD members in the system, we're now down to 6.5, and in the next financial year we'll be down to just over 4,000. And because of this ratio of youth diminishing and the large component that we have of aged, I must be careful how I put this, elderly members, that trend is now negative because the youth are not coming in. We did very well when the MSD was institutionalized because all of a sudden our age ratio was far better. Now, we all know that the MSD is a two-year program, and where it suits the needs of the SANDF, we retain them in the SANDF, but unfortunately others have to exit. And then fortunately they come back as a reserve to be deployed both internally and externally. So it's not that people are getting sick more often than not, or than in the past. It's a case of that ratio of the youth coming in is now, it's diminished. I'm going to skip Hoeveiser, that's purely an acquisition thing, but I'd just like to indicate that when we determined the need for Project Vagrant, Project Dragon came into being when we realized that with the inception of four new aircraft types, we would have to improve the facilities of our air bases. The one didn't materialize being the A400M, but the other two that we've acquired are the Griffins, the Hawks, and the 109s, because the Lynx helicopters fitted into an environment that was secure down at Aksapilot, that would have to improve the state of facilities in those environments. And that is ongoing. And the reason why it's delayed is not within the call of the Sundup, but I just want to assure the Honourable Member that it doesn't mean that there's a high risk. We've just conducted AAD in an environment of a very secure airbag, and a lot of what is coming out of Project Vagrant will go to the waterproof airbag. Now, that includes systems like landing lights, radars, not only the physical security of the base. It's a very comprehensive package and reasonably costly, but it is funded. Adachai, I'll leave that because that's purely an acquisition issue. But Project Drummer, the issue there, Project Drummer affects the performance of the SAMDF day-to-day because it goes about the Oryx helicopter, which is used in virtually day-to-day support of the people. And Danelle have indicated to us that they just do not have the human resources to be able to cope with the demand. It's similar to the dockyard. They simply cannot cope with the programs that we've got to indicate how we need these aircraft upgraded. Operation PEFU is the support to the African Cup of Nations, similar to what we did for the Soccer World Cup. The Corona budget, I know that because we only have 11 companies deployed, planned for, that the budget is sufficient for that. However, the budget for Corona is not sufficient to ramp that up. I just want to touch on the defense design, the force design, generally because often the question indicates to me that the bigger picture has to be just reflected here, because once the defense review has been accepted as a national policy document, that will provide the guidelines for the new force design. The force design is the part of the SAMDF that goes to war in terms of the mandate. To support that, there's a force structure, and that will have to be aligned with the force design, and then out of that will come the personnel establishment table, which will then indicate the number of people that we require in the SANDF to be effective, and that is also linked to the Secretariat for their oversight role. So that is something that one can understand is going to take time, because it has to be done properly. When we attempted that out of the 1998 Defence Review, we found that the force design was unaffordable and that the force structure was not aligned with that force design, because how could it be if that was unaffordable? And Chairperson, those are the questions that I can answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We now go to the question on the shifting of funds, CFO.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will give this question to the senior budget planner to respond to, but I'll respond to the other two or three questions. The first question that I'll respond to is with regard to the collection of revenue. There was a comment made that in the previous financial year we didn't fare well with regard to revenue collection, whereas in the current financial year we appear to have collected all that we have projected. This amount of revenue that we get, that is referred to as transfers received, is the amount that we get from our involvement in operations up in Africa. We get funded from the EU and the European Union. Now, in the past financial years, the memorandum of understanding were not properly signed, and as a result, we are not very sure of the amounts that we will collect. And again, there was also a problem with regard to some of our equipment, which probably not very, or we're not debitable, and that determines the amount that we receive at the country. Now, the issue of signing of MOUs has been dealt with, and that's why we're able to project that amount reflected there in the beginning of the financial year. Payments only were received in that it takes time for it to flow and be received over here. But we were sure already in the opening period that these amounts we will receive because the MOUs were already signed and the formulas were clear with regard to what we'll be receiving as a country. And the second question has to do with why is there an increase of 10 million under program administration. I'll take you back to the slide that deals with the adjusted estimates. In total, the amount that we receive under adjustment estimate is about 395 million, made up of 142 million, which is amount that we collected that was financed or that was reimbursed, and then 190 million, which is for salary increases. Now, because salary increases cut across all programs, that 190 million, together with 142, has been allocated throughout all the programs. That's the reason why there's a somewhat increase of about 10 million under program administration. It's for catering for personal costs that are under that program. And the third question has to do with the balance unspent at the end of September, that of 405 million. Well, it's undesirable that we should have this amount of balance outstanding, but the factors that led to this amount not being spent at the end of the month are the ones that Dr. Gamedes indicated, that CISA has been reviewing their way of invoicing. So the invoice from CISA for all the contracts that we have were not flowing as planned. And again, invoices that we received from Public Works for municipal services and leases on all the contracts, on all the buildings that we're utilizing, also did not flow as planned. So that's why this delay or this amount of underspending reflected. It will improve in the course of the financial year because we are from time to time engaging with them, in fact, ensuring that we receive this before the end of the financial year. And again, in the department, there is a committee called DPBED. It stands for Departmental Program and Budget Evaluation Committee. That committee sits frequently as we draw closer to the end of the financial year, and the purpose is to look into any programs that are underspending, advising on how funds could be utilized. And that's why at times we are forced to do the environment. Although environment could be viewed as a bed planning or other symptom of bed planning, but on the other hand, it's also positive in that if indeed the program is not performing in the course of the year, it's not good that you lock funds that program, whereas there could be other programs that are needing funds. So that's why the accounting officer is allowed to move funds to fund the needy program. So, and from past history, although our expenditure at the end of September was a bit low compared to the previous year, from past history, the defense spends almost all of their budget when we close the financial year. So that process of managing and ensuring that we spend appropriately will be done even in this kind of financial year.
Acknowledge the observation made regarding the 9%. I can, however, give the committee the absolute assurance that all violence are strictly controlled. It is subject to an audit by the Auditor General on an annual basis, and I know we don't sweat blood and tears because all the documentation is there, it's available, and it is included in the annual appropriation, the adjustments appropriation bill annually in October, this time of the year. So all that changes environments are included there, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing irregular or untoward any issue of not, or rather contravening the BFMA. Everything is within limits. And within the guidelines of the PFMA, it is reported everyone to the minister, and it's reported to the National Treasury, each and every single one, because that's what's required from us. So everybody is aware of what we are doing, what is done, and the reasons why it's moved.
The landward forces was a huge chunk of another.
The The observation is truly accurate, because how can one say we're taking money out of the landward defense system when they're the environment that is really lacking? It all goes about the infrastructure to be able to spend the money on what was planned for. Now, within the army, that amount of money was planned to be spent in certain environment within their capital acquisition, within their operating, because it cuts the cost. And rather than make that change of or that transfer into an area that wasn't planned for within that program, that DPBEC, the Departmental Planning and Evaluation Committee, will then suggest to the Plenary Defence Staff Council that these funds be shifted to areas that were planned for but not funded. So the difference there is to move money from what is planned to unplanned, or planned across the program into another program that is planned but not funded. And yes, it's unfortunate that it's coming from the landward system, but as Mr. Engelbert and the acting CFO mentioned, we have to use that money within the department. Otherwise, that 105 million will simply go up. And the checks and balances are there. We can't do it. A agreement of that nature has to go all the way through to National Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
If you have answered all the questions, I'm not good. I'm only going to take outstanding questions that you asked that were not answered. No. Because our time is up. A lot of minutes. Honorable Isao.
The other one was just a comment to the department when we deal with the special defense account, that we actually know that the length of the project, so that we can make the assessment of how many years it will take to pay for a project to actually execute it. Then we have a fair idea of the percentage allocated every year towards a specific project and when it be completed. At the moment, it's not too clear because this gives us figures and a change from year to year. The question that there was the tender that was delayed and the bottlenecks that was experienced by the department. What was the issue from that?
Chair, that one I mentioned was in the ICT infrastructure environment. And at the moment, so the bottleneck was at the procurement center, and the project then was still in planning for quite a while during this period under review. However, I must indicate that an FA was issued in the third quarter, and so this is back under control too. And then as to the research unit, the research unit is not necessarily linked to the organizational structure of the Defence Force, but it is impacted by the non-finalization of the DRC, because the staff that should be working on this organogram, because it's meant, the research unit is meant to support policy development. What we do now, when we need research for policy development, we go to AMSCO, to the Defense Institute. So this one is in-house research that will produce research in-house, as well as coordinate research within the DOD. So the bottleneck will be released as soon as the capacity is available to go back and work on the organizational structure. The concept was already approved by the minister. It's now just working down to come up with the appropriate organizational structure. Unfortunately, Chair, I cannot answer on the why the AAC did not meet, because I don't know and I don't sit in that organization, in that structure. The Admiral would like to just the question on project planning of projects and why they are delayed and so on. We've just had recently, I think it was towards the end of September, a workshop that was looking at the acquisition process. He'll explain.
Thank you, Chair. It's important that, that the honourable members are aware of this, because this workshop was chaired by the honourable deputy minister, because it's these AICs that are delayed are often a cause, and he then decided it can't be the only cause. So a workshop was then held with outcomes that have now been presented to the PDSC for implementation to actually overcome these delays that are caused through a number of factors. But we're getting down to one issue once again, and that's about resources internally to be able to manage these projects. So that together with a number of other factors have been put into plans of action to train people up to become project officers, competent project officers, and to improve the situation with this dragging on of our projects.
Did you have a
comment? Honourable Chairperson, as you should to wrap up, I have a comment on it, a little question. I think it's important at end of this year to understand the our horse's morale and the state of readiness as we go. That will not need a long answer, just, you know. Yeah, we're ending the year, so we have to understand we haven't gone to the camp for oversight. We're ending the year. Thank you, I just wanted to. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The morale of the soldiers is better than it was before due to the progressive improvement of the conditions of service. Started here, you know that we now have a service commission that will advise the minister on further improvements in the area, and the commission is now at a stage where it is working well, but not 100%. And the ombud as well has been appointed to deal with the grievance side, so that soldiers don't go back to the union building, but because they'll know that their grievances are taken up seriously within the department and with the structures that are appointed to do so. I can't talk in an open session about the state of readiness. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings
Chair
to the end of our meeting.
Chair?
We want to think the last week.
Chair, just to say, I think that we've stumbled across a fairly serious situation. I had hoped that this article in the Sunday Times was not true, but it seems to me that the state of the South African Navy's frigates is very serious. I mean, if indeed the only South African Navy frigate that is operational is SAS Amarola, which itself has a major engine defect, and we have three other frigates with major defects which the dockyard does not have a capability to repair, if indeed that is the state, I would describe that as a bordering on a crisis. I think we must just get some clarity. The question of the Gripen, I mean, my question was, well, 24 Gripen aircraft have been delivered. It's obvious on the Admiral's reply that we cannot operate those 24 Gripens. My question is, how many Gripens are on the line? How many Gripens can we operate on the budget? And how do we deal with the aircraft that we are not able to keep in the air, because presumably if those aircraft are not operate, they degrade over time? That is a serious concern. These are two very serious concerns, Chair. My final question is a question of process, which I forgot to answer, and I wonder if you could indulge me. Is spending on the Presidential Health Support Unit at Nkambla, which is now we hear a national key point, channeled through the special defense account, or does it come through the South African military health service? It's a question of process, and if so, how much was spent in the last in the period under review?
I'd just like to clarify the issue about the frigates. The two frigates that in a normal cycle, there's no problem with those two frigates. They take up the capacity of the dockyard because that's planned. When the third ship is in the process, that's when the bottleneck now is created. So we are confident that those two that are in normal maintenance will come out within the normal cycle. It's only about dealing with the one that has now got an operational defect that can't be dealt with immediately. And so it's not about the four, it's about one. The issue with the aircraft, I've explained, we're in the process of developing a strategy, not a plan, how to cope with having 26 aircraft that can fly, they can all fly, and we'll deal with that when we have our session with the Joint Standing Committee, because that's the business of the Joint Standing Committee, that detail. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Member, Honourable Mazia.
No, Chairperson, I just want us to observe the obsession of the DA to the President of the ANC and the President of the country. I don't think that in the presentation from the department there was mention of Uganda or there was mention of the President. I hear Honourable Menier in his last question raising how much was spent on Uganda. And I know and he knows very well that the department has got nothing to do with Uganda, but public works has to do with Uganda. And if he wishes to ask those questions, I think he was to attend a meeting of public works and raise those questions. I think it is an unnecessary publicity which Honorable Menier is displaying, and it should be noted with concern.
Thank you very much. That closes our meeting. Thank you from DOD, and we have our business. We still have our business open. One item or two. Then we can release the DOD now. Thank you very much. Have a happy Christmas.
Thank you,
sir. Because we can only see you after Christmas. Honorable members, we were supposed to adopt the minutes, but we are short of one person. DOD, can you partake then? Can you partake? Can I partake? And thank you very much. But what is the distance of maybe? Hello. I'm closing that. A lot of
I have a correspondent
here. This is an invitation to the medal parade on the 6th of December. At the Waterloo Air Force Base. So we haven't got the program. The program will be sent later.
Who's getting medals?
They are giving the two detachment, the last contingent of the members of the two detachment of Umkhonto we see. That's the other thing. We were supposed to adopt the minutes, but I see we are running short of
it. Quorum.
Yeah, we don't have 1%, but we do not have any prayer. We'll just inform the House Chairperson that we will adopt them in the first meeting of our
first
court. And thank you very much. We don't wish you a happy Christmas. Somebody must wish us a happy Christmas.
We give you the privilege, sir.
We wish you a happy week.
You look nice that the former minister is wishing me happy
Christmas. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I can reciprocate. Yeah, no, lovely face of
so,
I'll be able to get my head above water. Will you get hungry?
Yeah. I think there were so many delegates. Unbelievable.
Thank you. But if you don't need that,
I don't want to spend some time. Can you call?
Yes.
No, we can. I think quite a bit of action originally.
Yeah.
Okay.